the divine nature. As you walk in close relationship with God, the natural fruit of that relationship is that you not just begin to understand who He is, but you begin to understand who you are. Who you are is simply looking to God, looking at God, looking in God, being with God. And the more you get to know His nature, you find out what your original nature was all about. As you grow to know Him, you have a call to put on a new nature. Colossians 3:10, put it up there. I've read this every week and I'm going to continue to read it. Put on your new nature. It doesn't say wait for your new nature. It doesn't say pray for your new nature. It doesn't say intercede for your new nature. It says put on your new nature. And be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. This nature that we are called to put on is in the likeness of God. Every decision you make from this point on, when you accepted Jesus and you said, I'm going to put on a nature, every decision you make is now under the government of a king. Yeah. Who is king? Jesus. King Jesus. And people living under the king's way are a people in what we call the kingdom of God. Kingdom, a king's dominion. So a king has dominion when a people say, we want to submit to his government. That makes sense? So the Jesus' dominion is spread throughout the world when a people say, we want to come under his domain. We want to live under the kingship of Jesus. And Jesus is so good that he says, I have been given the authority in heaven and on earth. I want you to hear this. Jesus says, I've been given all the authority, not just in the earth, but in the heavens and the earth. That means he has authority over angels. He has authority over demons. He has authority over Satan. He has authority over storms. He has authority over sickness. He has authority over poverty. He has authority over everything that does, everything that exists. And he says, with my authority, I want for everything to come up under my domain. I want everything to look like me. I want everything to look like Father God. And he says, now that I have all this authority, I'm actually going to make you co-heirs with me, meaning that all the authority that I've got, I'm going to let you share in it. So he says, I'm going to take keys and give them to you and have you turn keys of what we call keys of the kingdom and unlock all of heaven's goodness to spread everywhere. Yeah. Putting on a new nature is turning these keys. Because when you are in the nature of God, walking in his likeness, everything in earth and in heaven has to respond to his image. Everything on earth and in heaven has to respond to his image. So if that means, if it is true that everything has to respond to his image, if you are walking in his image, then things should be responding to you. Not because of it's just being you, but because when things look at you, they see God. That makes sense? The struggle of life or the warfare of existence is simply boiled down to this. Do I live in the nature that looks like God or do I live in a nature that is opposite God? Another way to say it is the nature that I'm in look apart from him or with him? The word nature comes from this word called phusis. P-H-U-S-I-S. This is what nature means. To bring forth or produce. To bring forth or produce. So in putting on a new nature, you are putting on a new producing. You are under a new order. which brings forth the fruit that God has intended for you. Fruit meaning everything that you were called to produce. So we know things like fruit of the Spirit. You are to produce peace, self-control, gentleness, love, tender, mercies. But there are also things you are called to produce in this life that he has put you on assignment for. If you're a parent, you are to raise up kids that look like God, not you. Right? I have been given an assignment to produce or bring forth an apostolic move to this area. It is one of the toughest assignments that anyone would never ask for. Do you hear that? Because it would be really easy for me to compromise on the assignment and do typical church tricks that bring hundreds of people into the church. But I can't do that and have peace with God. Not that those things are necessarily bad for those houses of worship. But an apostolic house is called to pave a new way into something that has not been done, something that has not been seen. And the truth is, it may not have the return of hundreds and hundreds of hundreds coming into a meeting like this, but it will have the return of the fruit that you produce is more than any hundreds and hundreds of hundreds could ever do. Paving a way and breaking religious strongholds so that others who come after us will not have to go through the warfare that we are going through. The apostles were stoned for their what was considered ungodly ways. They were stoned because they were doing things that the religious culture had never seen. And there has to be a group of people who are willing to be stoned for a new way of thinking. I was talking at dinner last night. We were having some good conversations about God, you know, because don't just talk about him at church. And we were talking about how Jesus talks about leaving the 99 to go after the one. But I want to bring out something very, very big in that idea. Jesus would not have permission, hear me out, to lead the 99 and go after the one unless he's confident that the 99 are together and unified and sustained. So we can talk all day about let's go after the one, but we have to be a people that are so united that Jesus says, you guys, I trust that you are together so I can go after this. We forget that part about the 99, unified, together, smelling each other's dung. Y'all didn't get that. See, let me say in English. Can I say? No? All right. I'm going to say something better. So when the sheep are together, we smell each other's poop, meaning that you don't lead the flock when it gets messy. Like when the junk rises, you bind together even though the stink may arise and it ain't incense. We have to come together and say, Lord, where do you want us to go despite what we're going through, despite what we're seeing, despite what we're feeling? That is the true marriage of the bride to the bridegroom, that we're going to be together in you. That is truly till death do us part. Okay. So there is he says, I want the people of God producing something new from heaven. He calls you to produce something that puts his creation in order. You see, his creation was fine until we took the wrong fruit, embraced that nature, and started producing things that we were never called to produce. Sin, right? And what we are called to produce is actually restoration. You know what a true mark of revival is? Not that people come together and jump for 45 minutes and say, yes, Lord, But that as people come together and jump for 45 minutes and say, yes, Lord, the region responds. That is true revival. Revival is not about an upbeat service called revival. Revival is an outflow from a people coming together, binding together under the name of the Lord, under the name of Yeshua, and saying we are here under his name. And as we come together and start to look like him, the region responds to his image. So it's not let me become like Jesus so that I can be worthy of heaven. It's let me become like Jesus so that proper authority comes in the earth. Acts 3, 19 to 21. Repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. And then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. For he must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. Repent of your sins, return to God, be renewed by way of a new nature, a new natural. The way you walk into a new natural or a new nature is you repent, meaning you start changing the way you think about things. He says refreshment will come and Jesus will come for the final restoration of all things. Final restoration of all things. Jesus will come for final restoration time. How many of you believe that? Indicating that if he's coming for final restoration, then that means there must be an ongoing restoration that he finalizes. And we have created a theology in church of bear until Jesus comes, when God is calling us to restore until Jesus comes. You know why the church has been ineffective? Because we moved from a people where fire came in the upper room to a people where we just come together and boo-hoo over our lives hoping that Jesus will return. When Jesus says, I'm going to finalize when you start restoring stuff. He doesn't you know how much he loves you? He doesn't love you just like, okay, I'm going to save you and bring you to heaven. Jesus looks at the Father and says, I want them here. Why does he want you here? Because we can do more in multiplied numbers than he could as one flesh. He says, I've got to go and I'm sending a helper and these people are going to change the world. So when you get it to the point where the world is ready, that's when I'll come. There will be signs in the end times. I put forth to you that if we don't start restoring things, we're going to have sign after 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 sign until we start restoring things. This is okay. Where am I at? It's not in my notes. The fruit of a new nature is a product called restoration. And the presence of God is not just the idea that God is with us, but that his presence is experienced by a way of a people in theos. Theos. The root word theos simply means God. Theos means what? God. We get the word theology because we have ology, the study of theos, theos, God. Theology, the study of God. But the word theos also means divine, which means to originate from God. So when you walk in a divine nature, we are walking in such likeness that when things look at us, they can tell where we came from. So you can be defined as someone who came from your upbringing or someone who came out of the bosom of God. Despite what cards you got dealt with, let your identity be, I came from heaven, not how I was brought up, not how I was abused, not from that bad relationship. I came from the Father. And that cannot just be a declaration. It has to be people see that because you are so convinced of his goodness that you actually believe you are made to be that good. You are made in the likeness of. When we walk in divine nature, we walk in his likeness. And when his likeness starts to appear, there is a refreshing that comes and a restoring that comes until all things get restored. So with that idea of divine, you get this idea that coming from God, you have a word like divination, meaning basically a perversion of anything that is divine. You ever heard of divinations? Witchcraft, sorcery, all that thing is real stuff. But all it is a perversion of the divine. This is what divination means, and you need to know this. Trying to discover hidden knowledge or trying to see the future or knowledge of God by a way of omens and powers of darkness. This is the perversion of a nature that we are called to, called divine, where all knowledge is from God. But with divinations, we don't try to get knowledge from God. We try to get knowledge from omens. The right rocks in our home. The right oils burning so that we can get peace. I love the smell of oils, but I do not look to them for peace. I'm not standing up here and say, don't burn essential oils. What I'm saying is don't be so naive to believe that the oil is giving you your peace, because if you believe that, then that is called a divination. There's nothing wrong with collecting rocks. My wife collects a rock from every time she goes outside. But she does not put the rocks around the house hoping that it gives us a balance, because our balance is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Is this making sense? We are not trying to seek anything from anything or anyone except the one, God. 2 Peter 1, 3-4 says it like this. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. I'm just going to stop on that sentence. By his divine power means that God has God power. It's not really deep. It's pretty simple. By his divinity, he has given us everything you need to live a godly life. So if he has given us all we need to live a godly life, how dare you say sin prevents you from godlike living? Well, we're just fallen until the Lord comes back and finally. No, you're not fallen. You're redeemed. You're restored. You're purified. You're righteous. You are in the right standing with God. So he says, I have given you everything you need to live a life that looks like God-like living. He's given it all to you. We have received all of this by coming to know him. You want to know how to get everything you need to live like God? Get to know him more and more. Get to know him more and more. Where am I at? The one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Now watch this. Because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his what? Divine nature. And escape the world's corruption caused by humans' desires. God says, I've given you some promises, and everything you need to walk into these promises, I've given you. God says, there is nothing in this earth, there is nothing in you that can keep you from God-like living, except for your choice. I've given you everything you need to bear his image. And he says, because I've given you this ability and all you need to live like me, you can share in my divine nature and escape corruption. So I ask, are you still waiting on Jesus to deliver you when he says, all you need has already been delivered? That phrase, share in his divine nature, comes from a Greek word, koinonos, K-O-I-N-O-N-O-S, meaning partakers or sharers, or more accurately, to be infused with. And that's a process called theosis. Being infused with God. So, divine, God, theos, theos. We have that word theology meaning study of God, but we have this word theosis meaning a transformative process of union with God. So, do you come to church to study him, or do you come to get in union with him? Because you can have all the knowledge of God you want, but it doesn't mean you're in union. Ask Satan. Satan knows God. Satan spent time with God. You know that scripture that says no one has seen the Father except through me? You know who did? Satan. That was talking to humans. So trust me, he knows God. He knows the ways of God. He knows God so much that he still has to come before the throne of God, right? He knows God. So your knowledge of God and your study of the Septuagint and the all the Old Testament and the New Testament and this man's theology and that man's theology, that does not mean that you are getting to know God. You can know of God a lot, but that doesn't mean you know him. How do you know if you know him? Knowing him will be seen in if you look like him. So if all you are is hateful, you have a knowledge of, but you do not know. If you carry bitterness, you have, in that area, you have knowledge of what God wants you to do. But you obviously don't know God in that area, because knowing God, or another better way to say knowing, to be intimate with God, means you share with God in that area. So if you share with God in an area, unforgiveness cannot stay, because God doesn't want to share it. God's jealous for all of you, and he says, forgive. I don't want to share with bitterness. I want you. Does that make sense? It kind of gives you a new way of dealing with sin. God says, stop sharing that stuff with everything else. Oh, wow. Wow. Here, stop sharing everything that I have for you with everything else. I want it, the Lord says. Theosis is this awareness that transformation is taking place that brings you into a divine nature, in union, in oneness with God, to such a degree that you actually start to share in divine attributes. And the fullness of the restoration of time, when Jesus comes back to finalize all things, is dependent on a people that are saying yes to this theosis, or process of being infused. This will excite you. This theosis, this infusion of the divine, there's another word for it, perichoresis, which is what? The circle dance. So the more you get in dance with God, you are going through an infusion or a transformation that you look like him more and more and more. And if we would get obsessed with walking into his image, we don't need science to find a cure for cancer. Because it has to respond to the image shown up. Is that too much? The restoration of all things is a process finalized by God. And the process of this restoration is a people infused with the divine nature of the one whose image brings about all the authority in the world. When you realize you're called to this holy divine nature, you'll start to read scriptures differently. Like this one, look at Romans 12:2. Very, very popular passage. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of the world. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Repentance, change the way you think. It's not the goal. It's the beginning of a process called theosis. It's the beginning of a process of giving yourself permission to realize that you were created so that you can share in a nature called divine. You were created to share in a divine nature. When you start to understand that, when we start to understand that, then we'll actually be given more to repentance because we understand the more we look like him, the more his divinity brings order to chaos and confusion. It brings order to your relationships. It brings order to principalities, spirits, darkness, because we're co-heirs with Christ, who has all authority on earth and where? In heaven. So that means we have an authority over all things if, not if we proclaim the name of Jesus, but if we look like the very image of Jesus. So it's not let me get my sin life right so I can appear to be like him, but let me change the way I think because I actually want to be like him. And religion hates the idea of like God because we pervert like God. Like God does not mean equal with God. Like God means you look like him, because when he made you, he looked at himself and said, I look pretty good, let me multiply my image. So when you start to understand you are made in his image, you'll start to pursue the image. So repentance is not let me get it right. Repentance is I want to know what I look like. And when you start to know what you look like, everything around you will respond to that looking. Because that looking is divinity, is the nature of God. Am I going too deep? Okay. Your mind must focus on who he is and where he is if you're ever going to share in that divinity. And if all you do is study him, you'll watch a lot, but never partake. Church has to move from a study of the divine to a union of the divine. Let me read Matthew 14. I'm going to show you about union of the divine. Verse 25. About 3:00 in the morning, Jesus came toward them. That's a late night or early morning, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, it's a ghost. Let me just pause right there. When you're not walking in your divine nature, you won't recognize divine nature. That's why people scoff and call me, you know, like a heretical preacher. They don't recognize divine. Oh, I am bold enough to say that. That's why men and women who have walked in such a higher calling that have sparked revivals over this world and have led thousands, people try to find fault instead of recognizing divine. They saw Jesus and said, that's a ghost. When you start to walk in divine, sometimes the first reaction from people will not go, oh, thank God. They will look at you and say, who do you think you are? Right? They saw Jesus, but they're like, oh, that's a ghost. They didn't recognize divine. So they saw a ghost. And it says in verse 27, Jesus spoke to them at once. Well, before I go any further, y'all heard me, right? That's not a prideful statement. It is we have to start embracing who we're called to be. We're called to walk in a divine way. So like when you have healings in a body, it doesn't become weird, it becomes natural. Right? When you see people getting saved, it's a natural thing because they're exposed to the divine nature of God. When a people become so infused with the nature of God, they don't depend on the corporate Saturday gathering to get filled. But there is a divine filling when you submit to his order of gather with the people of God. Make no mistake, before I go on, God does not give you permission to grow in him alone. You do need church. Because when God made Adam, he says, it is not good for man to be alone. You need to be connected. That's part of divinity. So look at this. They think he's a ghost. And then Jesus spoke to them at once, says, don't be afraid. Take courage. I'm here. Now, where was Jesus? He was walking on the water. And then Peter called to him, verse 28, said, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you. If you're God, tell me to walk on water. That's what Peter said. Verse 29, yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, he shouted. Save me, Lord. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? Peter walking on water. It was a moment where he was sharing in a divine nature because he could not do it apart from the divine allowing him to. Because in a nature, anything apart from divine, you cannot walk on water. But in divinity, you can. Not that you have a power, I can go walk on water at Tybee Island because I'm saved. That's not what it is. It's if Jesus needed you to, there would be the ability. Okay? If Jesus needed you to preach to 10 people, but you never preached, you would have the ability. If the Lord needed you to share salvation and you've never done it before, you would have everything you need. I have given you everything you need to walk in my nature. So it does not matter if you had never been to theological school. In fact, it's probably better if you have not been to theological school, that you will actually walk in such a way where if God says do it, you will be walking in a walk on water nature. Anything that I need to do. How? He kept his eyes on Jesus. And he walked toward him. The ones in the boat were watching all this take place. Let me say it like this. The ones in the boat were studying God. Peter didn't want to study. Peter wanted union. You know what the difference between walking in divine nature and not is? Do you watch God or partake with God? You know what union with God is? You don't beg God to deliver you. You simply walk through deliverance because you're with him. See, and this idea of like God deliver us, you're still separating yourself. Think differently. It's not, Lord, would you please? It's, Lord, I'm with you right now. Let's do this. It's kind of like if you read a lot of the Old Testament, you'll see these stories of people going, God, where are you at? You told me to go. Let's go. And God answered, and they went, and they conquered. But we've turned divine nature into coming together and begging God to show up. when God's wanting us to walk on water. Perhaps Peter knew something. Because when Peter called out Jesus, Peter said, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you. Tell me to come to you. Perhaps Peter knew something, that Jesus didn't want an audience. He wanted a circle dance on the water. He gave crowds parables and taught straight to disciples. Because his goal wasn't, let me get crowds to study me. His goal was, I want to get people in union with me. Notice, Jesus says, take courage, I'm here. But he wasn't on the boat. But he was in a place that he desired them to come to. When we walk in the divine, we will know how to navigate the waves, the storms of life, and the trying times. Let me read three verses before this. Before they look and Jesus starts walking on water, it says in Matthew 14, verse 22, it says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back in the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills to himself, by himself, to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen. They were fighting heavy waves. In one passage of scripture, we see Jesus speaking to the storm and calming it. In this one, we see Jesus calming them, but not the storm. Take courage. Not every storm you are called to calm. Some you're just called to walk right through. How do you know when to calm a storm? How do you know when to speak to trouble? Or how do you know when to walk right through it? Become unified in a divine nature where you will share in his knowing. What are the gifts of the Spirit? A word of knowledge. A word of wisdom. How do you get a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom? It's not by going to prophecy school. It's by, I'm getting to know him where I know what his whispers are, and I know what his voice is like, and when he says do it, I'm going to do it. Yeah. Think about it. How did Jesus know in this moment that when he came down off that mountain, how did Jesus know that he wasn't supposed to calm the waves, he was just supposed to start walking on water toward the disciples? Anybody know? Let's talk. Well, this is not, I'm not trying to give you motivational speech. Let's talk. How did Jesus know that this storm was not supposed to meant to be calm, but he was just supposed to walk on water? How do you know? What's that? He was in union with the Father. How do we know that? Because it says he went to the hills by himself to do what? Pray. So how did he know what to do in the storm? Because he was in union with the divine nature of God himself. and the Lord says, like, I've called you all to intercede. I've called you all to pray. Why? He's called you to pray so that you can share in a nature where you don't have to pray in the moment. You are prayed in such a way where you know what to do in the moment because you're sharing in nature. You're sharing in divinity. So when you come up to a situation, you don't have to say, can I pray about it? You've been praying so you will know what to do because he says, do it. Or he says, don't do it. Or he says, do this or do that. You're sharing in a nature because you've been in union with God. Yeah. That's good stuff. Yeah. Yeah. To share divine nature, being infused with the divine, means to possess the very attributes that God possesses. Why do we have the potential to heal? Because we share in divine attributes. So hear me, church. I believe that we can walk in such a way where we can heal, where we can talk the storms, where we can do, we can turn water into wine. Yes, I believe it. Are we there yet? No. But if there is potential, then let us come together and say, let's try to figure out what this divinity is. And just to be honest, if we were all interested in divinity, we would have more people coming to prayer than just to a Saturday night worship session. And I'm not trying to promote a prayer gathering. I'm just calling it out. We should be hungry to come together, whether it be house churches or men's and women's gatherings that are on the first and third of every, or second and fourth of every month. Little plug there. Men's and women's gatherings, second and fourth of every month, Wednesday. But we will come together and say, let's pray. Like at house churches, I would rather hear that the house churches prayed for 2 hours because they could not stop talking to God than hear you talk about my message. You know what my message is meant to do? It's not meant to motivate you and make you go away necessarily feeling good. But what the Lord has given me is to challenge your thinking so that you can start looking good. Amen. What is good? Divine. Yeah. I'm going to push the religious strongholds in your mind. And when we start embracing a push of the religious strongholds, perhaps we'll actually start to walk in divinity. Look at 2 Corinthians 3, 16 through 18. Whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. This transformation comes by way of time spent. And to see and reflect in other translations is a word called behold. Behold the glory of God, meaning to look upon. Like Peter did, he beheld the glory which caused him to walk in a wild, foolish nature of, yeah, I'll walk on water. Think about that for a second. Peter's in the boat, and everyone's like, look, there's a ghost on the lake. In the storm. And Jesus talks to a ghost. Peter talks to a ghost. Peter's not convinced it's Jesus yet. Pay attention to that. Peter's in the boat and goes, hey, you, if you're God, tell me to walk on water. Talk about faith. He's talking to a ghost and hopes it's Jesus. And this ghost says, yeah, Peter, it's me. Why did Peter know it wasn't a ghost? Because he recognized his voice. And when he heard his voice, Peter got so wild that he was like, okay. And when his foot touched water, it was solid. He was wild and foolish enough to actually have faith that if God says walk on the water, he would make a way for him to walk on water. Are you wild enough and foolish in your faith that you'll say yes to whatever the Lord says instead of giving him a resume of why you're not qualified? We read scripture that says change into his image, but the church has actually started to teach us blasphemous to believe we can be like him. But it's what he desires. He's divine and wants you to share in that divine nature. Why do we get Jesus, the Word, becoming flesh? To show you what his image is really all about. A divine expression of spiritual realities in an earthen vessel. This is not up there, but I want you to... I kind of mentioned this last week, but I want to mention it again. Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah prophesies, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, bear a son, and his name shall be Emmanuel. But Mary did not name him Emmanuel. What did Mary name him? Yeshua, Jesus. So why Emmanuel? Emmanuel means God with us. In Hebrew, to name something means to mark something by character. So Isaiah did not prophesy a name. He prophesied a character. What was his character? God with us. Jesus was marked by God's presence. And if he lives in you, then we share a nature of when we show up, God and all of his nature shows up too. That is the authority of God in his church. We're foolish and wild enough to actually believe that we can walk in the identity of Christ Jesus. Let me read this in Philippians 2. Jacob, you can go ahead and come up, man. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave. He was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Listen to that. He was God, but he did not cling to that equality. Having the same attitude as Jesus is this. I have a divine nature, but I recognize that that does not mean I'm equal with God. I have a divine nature that is humble as a slave to God. That's how you reconcile. It sounds prideful to say, I am divine. It's not prideful. It's knowing who you are, but your divine is serving the greater divine. He made you in a divine nature. Jesus had to give up divine privileges. And you ever read that scripture and think, well, what did he give up? He went and healed people. He turned water into wine. What did he give up? Because he only did them for 3 years. Can you imagine what the chances that he gave up until he knew it was time? And then when he walked into that wedding party where he was turning water into wine, what did Jesus say? He was like, it's not time. Why did he say it's not time? Because he gave up the privilege of deciding the time. He said, it's not time. They said, but Jesus, Jesus. And then he goes, it's not time, but okay. That's how much he gave up his divine privilege that time was molded to a moment where he said, it's not time. But here we go, because he loved you that much. He loved those people that much that he said, it's not my time to do this, but I'm going to do it. He gave up divine privileges. You know, in that moment, you know who he was a slave to? Not just the Father, but the Father wanting him to become a servant to the people that were about to kill him. And you still won't forgive someone that hurt you? You need to give up that privilege of I don't have to. You know what free will is? Free will is a privilege. Why not give it up? Like, I believe in free will. I believe that God has predestined steps for us. I believe that God has plans for us. I also believe that he is so good that he allows you to pick walking in situations and ways that he never planned for you. That's how good he is. He says, I'm going to give you the free will to walk out of my plan. I don't care what's been taught to you, but let me correct your theology. God never planned Adam and Eve to eat that fruit. But he did give them free will to make a choice. He gives you the free will to make any choice. But why not give up that free will to say, Lord, I know I can make any choice, but I would rather look so much like you that I walk in a nature where all the things in this world and all the things in the heavens will respond to your image. If you give up the free will of a choice to walk apart from Jesus, in a moment, you will walk in such a way where things start to respond because of your very presence, because of our presence. That's the divinity of God. That's your divine nature. John 14. It says in verse 15, if you love me, obey my commandments. If you love me, obey me. You know what that is? He's like, if you love me, I'm going to give you the choice. But if you love me, you will obey me. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, and he'll never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and does not recognize him, but you know him. Because he lives with you now, and later he will be in you. Advocate. That word means counselor, an encourager. A relationship with Holy Spirit is one of him counseling your every step and every decision. A relationship with the Holy Spirit is allowing the Holy Spirit to counsel you on every decision of your life. We need to understand it's not the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is his name. He is Father, he is Jesus, he is Holy Spirit. And I do feel strong that we've got to correct our language and correct our thought, and we got to correct our posture. It's not when is the Holy Spirit going to come. It's not when is the Holy Spirit going to pour it out. It's Holy Spirit, talk to him. The name of the person, Holy Spirit, wants to counsel you. He wants to lead you. There will be times when he says, put your hand on the shoulder and heal. There will be times where he says, I'm going to need a doctor to do it. There's going to be times when he says, I want you to talk to him. There's going to be times when he's going to bring you to people and says, I want you to shut your mouth and just listen for the next 3 hours and bear it. There's going to be times when Holy Spirit says, I want you to spend 10 minutes with me. There's times when Holy Spirit is going to say, I want you to get on the floor face down with no music and just be in silence with me for 3 hours and let me show you a vision. Holy Spirit wants to have that kind of relationship with you. And if we would submit to that relationship, just perhaps we would begin to share in a divine nature. Not a cursed natural, but a divine natural. I'll close with this, Colossians 2, 9 through 10. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. And so you also are complete through your union with Christ. He is the head over every ruler and every authority. You are united with the one who is the head over everything. Over angels, over demons, over sickness, over disease, over hurt, over pain, over backstabbing, over cruelty. He says, be in union with me and get over all of it. Don't settle for a nature that's anything less than divine. Let us walk in a divine light so that all the world would come to know him. Because when they look at you, that is who they see, the divine nature. Amen. Let's stand.